You see, most gamblers, when they go to gamble, they go to win. When we go to gamble, we go to lose. Even when we win, it's just a matter of time before we give it all back.
This is the Bet Slippin' Podcast, featuring Jeff Clark from USA Today Sportsbook Wire.
I bet you $20 I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
No way.
I mean, it's the gambling business. Occasionally get punched in the face.
You're listening to the Bet Slippin' Podcast.
I'm shocked to find that gambling is going on in here.
Well, Nate, we're in for a roller coaster this week. It's week 15, the NFL slate. We're breaking it down here on the Bet Slippin' Podcast. I got my homie, handicapping homie, Nate Dogg, betting buddy, Nate Dogg. He's on the line with me, but making her third appearance to the Bet Slippin' Podcast, Yahoo Sports betting analyst, the great Minty Betts. Minty, what's up, girl?
Hey, I am so glad to be back on with you guys. So I hope we can make some money this week.
I do too. Nate is the one carrying us on this podcast. He's been profitable for pretty much every episode he's been on since he's taken over the catbird seat. It's just been terrible for your boy, Jeff, but I don't know. Maybe I can make it back this week. There's going to have to be a lot of comedy or comedic relief in this podcast because the gambling angles are tough to find in this one because who knows who's playing? 96 players have been added to the COVID list over the first 3 days of this week. Again, we're recording Wednesday, December 15th. So by time you guys listen to this or by time the games kick off, who knows who's going to be playing? I might get suited up here and play for the Los Angeles Chargers or the Rams. I don't even know who's home this week. It's somewhere on the sheet. We'll talk about that here briefly, but yeah, it's going to be an exciting podcast. Hopefully, it's going to be a lot of fun to try to make sense of this just nonsense COVID pigskin variant that's going around apparently, but we'll do the best. I mean, hey, they're going to accept all of our wagers, so let's try to make some money. Am I right?
Absolutely. Yeah, they're accepting your wagers. They're loving your bets, Jeff, but hopefully we can turn things around this week for you.
That's terrible. Don't kick me while I'm down. Don't add insult to injury.
Sorry.
All right. So we're going to go through rotation order. If you're familiar with rotation order, if you're not familiar with rotation order, essentially it's just how the sports books lay out the betting card. But before we get into the betting slate, let me pay some bills here and shout out the sponsor of this podcast, Tipico Sportsbook. Tipico Sportsbook, they're a global sports betting leader, and they're now live in New Jersey and Colorado. You can make your favorite sports more interesting with Tipico's fast and easy mobile sportsbook app. For a limited time, new users from this podcast will enjoy a special welcome bonus. You can get your bonus today at usatodaybet.com/podcast. That's usatodaybet.com/podcast. Terms and conditions do apply. You must be 21 or older to play. Please see their website for details. If you have a gambling problem, please call 1-800-GAMBLER for New Jersey and 1-800-522-4700 for Colorado. Okay, so by rotation order, we're going to start off with the Thursday night football game with the Los Angeles Chargers visiting the Kansas City Chiefs. The line right now, hold on, is the Chiefs favored 3 on the road. Is that what you guys are seeing too? It's favored 3, yep. A little juice.
3.5.
Yeah, a little juice on the Chiefs. The total sitting at 52. It's been increased from the 49.5 point opener. I'm going to take the Chiefs in this spot, kind of give you my reasons why in a second. Minty, how are you feeling about this game?
I actually really like this matchup, but I've made it a point to fade the Chiefs after they had such a horrific record covering the spread. But in the last 4 games, they've won and covered and look pretty similar to their old selves, but they're still 6-7 against the spread. The Chargers are dogs here, and I love betting on the Chargers as underdogs. I mean, this offense has so much raw talent. Their defense is great. Defending through the air struggles against the run, but that's okay. The Chiefs don't really run the ball, even though they have CEH back. But, you know, I really like the Chargers plus the points here, and I'll even bet them to win straight up plus 145. They're 3-0 against the spread versus Kansas City, and Justin Herbert has held up pretty well against the Chiefs.
Good points. Nate, you're gonna fade, yeah. Follow that, or what's up? How do you feel about that?
Gonna piggyback off of that a little. I don't know if I'm gonna fade or follow it. You guys are going for the teams. I'm going for the points here, and this is what's interesting to me. So the Chiefs started off first five games of the season, their defense, 29, 36, 30, 30, 38. Their last five, 7, 14, 9, 9, 9. Their defense has turned it around. They flipped a script. I'm not saying Justin Herbert isn't going to go off, but I'm just saying I think it's going to be a lower scoring game than everyone's thinking. So per pregame, 92% of the cash is on the over. It's pushed it over to 52. As I've been preaching for weeks, the Thursday night football games are just not easy for teams on the short weeks to get their offense going. I like the under here, especially if they keep pushing it up. And the Chargers rank fourth in opponents' passing yards per game, kind of, like I said, piggybacking off what Minty was saying. With Casey's, I mean, their offense is back in action, but I'm hanging the under here. I don't like points. Thursday night football is bad for points.
Yeah, it does trend more to the under, right? A few weeks ago, it was like 70% at the under. I don't know what the current standing is on Thursday night games, but that's a good point. I guess I'm more lean to the Chiefs minus three because, you know, it is the Chargers are a divisional home dog getting 3 points and increasing or could get up to 3.5 on a primetime game. They have an elite quarterback. And like Minty said, they've covered three straight with Justin Herbert versus Kansas City. But the Chargers win and cover in week three against KC was so fraudulent. So fraudulent. The first three Kansas City drives ended like this. Tipped pass, interception on the Chargers' 3-yard line. Next drive, Tyreek Hill fumbled the ball in the red zone against the Chargers, or in Charger territory in the red zone. And Clyde Edwards-Helaire fumbled on the third drive, or their third drive of the game on the Chargers' side of the field. Also, I mean, the Chargers have like one of the worst rush defenses in the league. And this offensive line for the Chiefs is awesome. See, Clyde Edwards-Helaire has been running the ball pretty well. And I just think if the Chiefs can attack you two different ways, I'm expecting them to put some points on the board and eventually, like, cover the spread. I don't know. I don't think this turns into a field goal game. I think there's just going to be enough points to be scored. So I do kind of zag on Nate's lean towards the under or even like towards the under. But I have more of a lean on the Chiefs minus three than anything else because I am a little nervous about the division home dog angle here. So it's a lean. But we got Saturday football for the first week this year. I'm excited about that. The first game here on the docket is the Minty's Las Vegas Raiders playing the Cleveland Browns. Minty, are you going with the hometown team in Ohio?
This one's tough because the opening line was Browns minus five, I believe. And then it went all the way down to Browns minus three. And then the whole Baker Mayfield ruled out because he tested positive for COVID thing happened. So now the Raiders are 1.5 point favorites. I think I do like the Browns here. The Browns aren't as threatening of a team as we thought they were coming into the season. They've had some inconsistencies in the last several weeks, as have the Raiders. This may be a look ahead spot for the Browns as they have to get through Vegas and then face the Packers in Lambeau and then another AFC North rival in Pittsburgh. So I originally liked the Raiders catching 5 points or 6 points, whatever it was. But Case Keenum honestly isn't a real big drop off from Baker Mayfield to me. I get the line flip. Despite how they looked in all their losses, I feel like the Raiders offense can surprise us. I don't know. I'm really torn here. I lean Cleveland here. I lean the home dog, and I think they can win straight up. But I don't know. Both are so inconsistent. I just don't know really what to think about this game.
Yeah, I think the thing for me right now is this COVID list. It makes me not want to look in Cleveland's direction. I mean, we're starting like Jared Wilkes, starting tackle. Jarvis Landry, starting wide receiver. Baker Mayfield, starting quarterback. David Njoku, starting tight end. Or I guess maybe Hooper's there now. But either way, like that's a pretty brutal slate of people that are going to be out. And Vegas is kind of being written off. Their offense has been pretty awful over the last three games. Scored 15 or less in three of their last four. Their offense just isn't there since Ruggs. Waller's been banged up. I think personally, I'm going to pass on this game. I'm not betting on a game with 15 players on the COVID list. But yeah, I'm going to at least enjoy watching it. Maybe sprinkle on the under because maybe offenses just can't get going with it. But yeah, that's where I'm staying.
Ooh, I think that under set at what, 38.5? Is that what you guys are saying?
That feels too low.
It feels so low. But who knows? Maybe this is just going to be such an awful game that it might not even get to 30 or 38. So
can any team top 24 points is what I'm thinking. 24-17, that hits a total. That's scary.
Mm-hmm.
Well, these two teams played last year, November 1st in Cleveland in a crazy windstorm, and Vegas beat them 16-6. I kind of think it plays out similarly. I had a whole attack plan for Saturday, and this COVID situation just completely nuked my plans. My idea was I was going to tease the Raiders up from 3 to 9, and then I was going to tease the Patriots up from 2.5 to 8.5, and I was going to try to get a fat middle with the Colts money line. It's all just fallen by the wayside at this point. I guess now that I'm just looking at this game specifically, I'll go with the Raiders as a road favorite. I don't feel great as I say that out loud, but I mean, yeah, I agree with Minty. I don't think there's a big drop-off from Baker Mayfield to Case Keenum. However, like Nate said, the Browns are going to be without Jedrick Willis. They're probably going to be without Wyatt Teller. They're two best offensive linemen. They're already down Jack Conklin. And that makes this a strength on weakness edge in favor of the Raiders. I mean, the Raiders, their pass rush is one of their strongest features, and Cleveland's offensive line is banged up. We're going to have a similar weather game as last year when the Raiders just pretty much dominated the Browns. The weather forecast currently is 38 degrees with 15 mile per hour winds, and it's supposed to be rainy. So this game's going to be played in the trenches, you would think. And even if it's not, even if the weather does clear up, I like this Derek Carr passing attack, especially if they get back Darren Waller against a banged up Cleveland secondary that gives up explosive plays. And the Raiders have an explosive pass or a high explosive pass rate. You know, Derek Carr, we've seen him go down the field and either draw defensive pass interferences or connect with randoms down the field. I think they can do the same because Cleveland's going to have randoms all over the field against the Raiders, and the Raiders are a far healthier side. So I'm actually very pissed off that my teaser plan got just completely detonated by COVID, but you know, we all have to deal with it. So whatever, I'm just going to move forward, and I'll take the Raiders as a road dog, even though, again, as I say it out loud, it's like, Jesus, oh, it's just terrible.
I just really quick, not super related to football, but you said the weather is going to be 38 and windy and a little bit rainy. And here in Las Vegas, it's 38, windy and rainy as well. And it doesn't really get like that often. And yesterday I was watching the news, and we had two meteorologists on the news and three reporters out, and also two rovers, which are two cars that like just drive around with like the dashboard cam to see like traffic and weather and stuff. And it's called a winter storm here when it gets like below 40 and windy. So it's just pretty funny how, like, I don't know, in Vegas, that's like our winter storm versus in Cleveland, that's just like, oh, it's just a little chilly today. But very interesting to see they have the same weather as us.
Wait a second. So is there a chance the Raiders could be practicing outdoors and simulating these conditions? Is there any chance of that?
Yeah, there actually is. I mean, there is an outdoor practice facility here, as well as indoor, of course. So they could very well be practicing in the similar conditions.
All right,
here we go. Raiders money line.
I'm putting 30
insider
units.
Info.
I'll put 30 units on the Raiders. Let's go. All right, good.
Jeff's whole bank account, Raiders.
God damn it, Minty. Do I love having you on this podcast? Well done. All right, all righty. Great. On the ground intel. Where were you? You're an Ohio resident. We need some more ground. On ground intel, weather intel from you.
It was 60 out today. It was 55 in Ohio.
Oh my gosh, how warm.
It's warmer in Ohio than Vegas. That's your breaking news.
You know what?
Yep.
I don't trust meteorologists, so what I need you to do later is I need you to ask your mom what the weather is going to be this weekend, because I trust mothers more than I trust meteorologists. And you text me and you let me know what she says. All right.
Moms will always be like, well, you need a light sweater. Just like take a jacket, no matter what.
For sure. My mom was more accurate at predicting snowstorms when I was growing up than any meteorologist we had. Like, she could tell me whether or not we were going to have a snow day days in advance. Like, this is just something I learned growing up. Moms, much better than meteorologists at predicting the weather. Okay. All right. No more parent talk here. Let's
weather talk.
Yeah, parent or weather talk, unless it factors in the handicap, and which it won't in this second Saturday game, which will be played in a dome, Lucas Oil Field to be specific, when the Indianapolis Colts host the New England Patriots. The Colts got bet from 2.5 point home underdogs to 2.5 point home favorites, which is crazy. Both these teams are coming off a bye week. What happened? How did this move 5 points when no one played? And I don't know. I don't think like any big names are on the COVID list. I saw you tweeting about this, Minty. So I want to hear your handicap of this first. Where are you going in this game, if anywhere?
Yeah, I never saw the Patriots open as favorites, but I did see the Colts open as -1.5. I guess it depends what book. And now they're 2.5 point favorites. I for sure thought this line would flip because the Patriots have been so hot, and I don't know why they're underdogs. I mean, I guess Indianapolis is kind of a difficult place to play, but I feel like the Pats kind of had the edge here. I'm also trying to look for the betting activity, and it looks pretty dead even. So I'm just really confused at this game. Again, extremely surprised to see the Colts as small favorites here. Both coming off a bye. I don't know. There's just way too many variables to bet on now with this matchup that I just don't trust. So I'm actually going to look to the first half total, which is, I believe, 22.5. I'm going to go with the over because although I do think we'll see some strong defensive plays, both teams are more than capable of scoring and finding ways to score. Indy is actually ranked third in first half points per game, while New England is eighth. So I think I really like the over in this rather than taking a side.
Oh, no. I love the under in this game, full game. Ooh. So we're oppo. Is maybe we both can cash. I mean, you're going maybe. First half over, right?
Like a strong first half, and then they kind of just like slow down the second
half.
It just
dies.
Yeah, it just stops.
All right. I actually think the Colts are going to kind of own them and put it on them. So maybe they score a majority of the points, like get up 21-3 in the first half and then just like ground them down with the ground game. That's kind of what I think. I like the under 40. It's total right now is 45.5. It's up from the 43.5 point look ahead. I might have been confusing with you or with the listeners off the top. So the look ahead line on this was 2.5, -2.5 for the Patriots. So it did open at Colts -1.5, but like on some books and some jurisdictions or some regions, you could have bet the Patriots or you could have bet the Colts as home underdogs. Anyways, I just think the matchup suits the Colts style. I think they're going to be able to run the ball against the Patriots. But what I like the under is because both these teams play at a snail's pace. The Colts have the third slowest pace in the NFL, and the Patriots are ranked 26th in seconds per play. Also, everyone's betting the over. And I think this game is kind of like I think the total is like shockingly low. Like the odds makers are essentially projecting a 24-21 game. And I think what we've seen out of like the Patriots offense, how multiple they've been, and what we've seen out of the Colts offense recently, like that total should be higher. And I do think the Colts offense is due for some regression. Maybe that's what the odds makers are projecting here too. Indy scored 30 or more points in 7 of the last 8 games. So they are due for a dud here. I also, back to the sides, the Colts are really good after a bye and in prime time in the Reich era, Frank Reich, their head coach. So I also think like both teams defend the ball well, and they both play good third down defense. So I think there are going to be some punts here. And like my final thought on this game is it's a tight sphincter game, right? It's a prime time game. The Patriots are 0-3, on the over under in prime time games this year. And I think Carson Wentz is going to gamble a lot less against a Bill Belichick defense and just play a muted offense of plan. Like, I'll do check downs. I'll do handoffs to Jonathan Taylor. We'll punt. We'll trust our defense against a rookie quarterback. So I like the under for the full game, but I'm a team player. Hopefully Minty cashes her first half over. What Nate, how are you playing this game?
See, I kind of like the under as well. And it's tough because you have two offenses that are so have been so good, but then you have New England's defense that's, I mean, they're legit. They're one of three teams to allow under 250 points, and they're allowing a league low at just 200 points in 13 games. So I'm thinking they're going to at least do some damage on Indy, but Indy also ranks 15th in opponent's completion percentage. So even denying the run, which New England is like, that's their bread and butter, as we saw against what was that ugly game against Tampa Bay? Maybe was that snow game? So even denying the run may not be enough. I think there could be points. I think there may not be points. All the line movement kind of scares me, where the money's being. So much money on it's on the over and on – wait, that was the other game. There's just a ton of cash on the over, it looks like. I'm not ready to bet the under. I'm not ready to bet the over. I don't like the total. I'll probably stay away from this one as well. It's a bad answer, but – Patriots Colts doesn't sound sounds like a good game, but not a good betting one for me.
It's never a bad answer to say save your money, and I don't have a good angle on this one. You know, as a matter of fact, I should probably give out that answer more often. I'll tell you that.
Gotta be a little more conservative sometimes.
Well, I mean, we got 13 more games. I'm sure you'll find other spots to bet the money. So, or bet your money. Let's get into those other spots though. The next game here in the rotation is the. Well, in this case, the first 1 o'clock Sunday afternoon window game with the Philadelphia Eagles, who are laying 7 at home when they host the Washington football team. The total is at a juiced up 44. Actually, there's more juice on the under, so I guess it's coming down a little bit. I'm playing the Eagles on a teaser. That's my angle or how I'm going to attack this one here. Washington's got 18 players on the COVID list, which doesn't include a banged up Heinicke, a banged up offensive line. I think I said his name right.
Heinicke.
Yeah. The quarterback for Washington, he's banged up. The backup Kyle Allen is on the COVID list. Again, they have a banged up offensive line, a banged up wide receiver room. Philly has an epic pass and rush blocking edge, according to PFF. They have a healthy offensive line that's coming off a bye, and they like to run the ball, and they should be able to run the ball against Washington's defensive line, who pretty much all have COVID. There's like three or four of them on the COVID list, and they were missing Chase Young already. So there's not a lot of talent, or at least there's not going to be a lot of talent on this Washington football team defensive line this weekend. I do think the Eagles have covered 4 of the last 5 as a favorite, with win margins of 38 points against Detroit, 27 against Denver, 11 against New Orleans, and 15 against New York. They're probably just going to beat the shit out of Washington, but I'll tease it down. That's what I'll do here. I'll tease it down. Nate, what's up? What do you think?
Yeah, I'm going to add a little bit to what you said. So Philadelphia has a number one rush offense, partially because Jalen Hurts decides to run the ball half the time. But Washington has 7 defensive ends or defensive tackles on that COVID list. You already mentioned Chase Young's down. At the very beginning when this line opened, I thought the Eagles were being a little overrated because just how hot Washington has been. And especially a mid-December NFC East game, it has me not wanting to bet it that much. But I'll take the under here. I don't really have faith in either offense. I've never been a huge Heinicke believer, and believe me, he's cost me some money before and he'll probably have to do it again. But Washington ranks 23rd in points per game and top 5 in opponents rushing yards per game. So hopefully they'll take Philly a little bit out of what they do. Everyone else besides their defensive line is a little bit more healthy. Their linebackers seem to appear to be healthy. Apparently they're a little bit more healthier, and Washington should be fine. Stopping that run is going to be of like major importance. So hopefully Washington is able to stop their run, limit the ball. I don't think their offense is going to do anything. So give me under 43.5.
Minty, do you have any picks or takes in this game?
Nothing strong. I really just want to vent a little that I'd really trusted Washington last week. I even waited from +4.5 to +6.5 against Dallas, and that I just lost by the hook. It was such a painful thing. I don't think the Eagles have any business being 7-point favorites, but I totally understand with all the injuries, all the COVID list listed players on Washington and the whole quarterback situation. The NFC East is such a crapshoot. I'm definitely not going to play this game or watch this game, but I would lean Eagles.
Yeah, I took Washington plus 4.5 last week. I put it in the contest. I gave it as a best bet here in the Bet Slipping podcast. I didn't bet it on the side until a few minutes before kickoff when it got up to 6.5. And that was just, I mean, they got down big early, so it's tough to call it a bad beat. But they also missed a 2-point conversion and had an extra point blocked that should have covered both the 4.5 and the 6.5 closing line. So it was a tough beat, I guess, more than a bad beat. So I, you know, I'm venting with you, Menti. It sucks, but whatever. I mean, again, we move on. You got to just take the stuff like pros. All right, next game here on the list is Carolina Panthers at the Buffalo Bills. The Carolina Panthers are getting 10.5 points currently, according to pregame.com. I'll pull up Yahoo Sports app here in a second. They're getting 95% of the bets. The total steamed down from 45 to 44.5. I can't, there's just no way I would bet the Bills in the spot. This is a heavy lean towards the Panthers, plus 10.5 or nothing here. I mean, it's just, it's the mother of all sandwich spots for Buffalo. The Bills just played New England in week 13, just played Tampa Bay in week 14. They have a game that's going to decide the AFC East next week against New England. Why are they getting up for this game? I can't see that they will. You have Bills Mafia taking pictures of Josh Allen at the Hamilton play saying, hey, he's not walking around. He has no walking boot. He's good to go. So obviously Josh Allen is not very good to go. He's banged up, right? Or else they wouldn't be doing these sort of things. And Carolina's defense is still a top 10 unit, like by EPA, by success rate. And this is them getting nothing out of their offense, right? They're usually playing on probably short fields, and yet they have been impressive at times this year. They have Stephon Gilmore, who can go one-on-one with Stephon Diggs. I mean, he's very familiar with that matchup, obviously, playing for the Patriots last year. It's only a lean. There's just, I don't know. I'm interested in Nate, if you can make a Bills argument, or Menti, if you can make a Bills argument.
You know, I came into this wanting to make a Bills argument, but there's just, I honestly think there's no argument to be made. I love the Bills. I think when I made a guest appearance on this podcast preseason, I said Josh Allen was going to be the MVP, and I threw whatever game we were playing, I threw a couple $100 on this. But they're just not who we thought they were. And especially against the Panthers pass defense, it's ranking number one in opponents' yards per game. I know you went over their offense isn't good. They ranked 27th in yards per game. And despite that 3-0, 4-0 start, without Christian McCaffrey, they're just not who we expected them to be. Especially this game being in Buffalo, I think they're in a spot where it's almost win or go home. If they lose this game, they're 7-7, and they're really going to struggle to maybe even be in the playoffs. So this is a game they have to win, but like you were saying, I don't think there's any way I would bet that they win by over 10, especially with how they've played this season.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think this one is awful. Like the matchup, the line, the Bills lack that explosiveness they've shown last season, and they've shown that they've had an easy schedule up until their true competition against the Patriots and the Bucks. So I certainly wouldn't lay 10.5, 11 points with Buffalo based on how they look. And I also don't trust the Panthers. I mean, their quarterback situation, their offensive injuries, everything is just a mess. Like, I may look to the under. I think that's a stronger play for me than aside. Both Buffalo and Carolina's defenses are first and second in total yards per game. They're both top 10 in allowing the fewest points per game. So the under is a lean, but not betting this one.
Yeah, I lean Panthers just because of the sandwich spot angle. But if Cam Newton threw for 75 yards this week, I wouldn't be shocked. Like, if they got shut out, I mean, the Bills defense, you know, they've gotten plenty of questions over the past few weeks, so they could just take out their anger on a terrible Carolina offense. So I can't give it out, and it won't be one of the best bets when we go to the window. But if I were to take any shot in this game, it would definitely be at the Panthers plus 10.5. Moving along to the not so sexy game, an AFC East matchup between the New York Jets and the Miami Dolphins. The Miami Dolphins have been pushed up to a 10-point favorite, up from a touchdown favorite on the opener. Total's down to a juiced up over on the 42. All the money's coming in the Dolphins. I like the Dolphins here. I can't help myself. I'll take the chalk play and follow the public here. I can give you my reasons why, but do either one of you like? I'll start with you, Minty. Do you like a side or a play on the total on this one?
I lean the Dolphins, and it's really telling how bad the Jets are when a team like the Dolphins are like 8-point favorites. Miami's covered in 5 straight games, but let's be real, all those were against weak competition, maybe except for the Ravens. The Jets may be the weakest, but they met the Jets already back in week 11 and only won by 7 points. So no pick for this one, as it's like an ugly matchup, but I would lean Miami as well.
Yeah, I'm also, I think this is kind of a trap game for Miami. I don't think the Jets are, you said what, it boosted up to 10 maybe?
Yeah, it's up to 10.
Oh my
God. I can't bet the Miami Dolphins as a double digit favorite over probably anyone in the league. They're just not that good. They have the fifth worst pass defense, although as we've gone over for a lot of this podcast, Xavien Howard and Byron Jones have been out several weeks of that. So they're probably a little bit better than the numbers say. And they have the second best rush defense. I think the Jets are probably going to try to air it out more. I don't know. This is just an ugly game all around. I'm definitely not watching it. Definitely not betting it.
Yeah. If it weren't for Urban Meyer and all his comedic blunders, what would people be saying about Robert Saleh? I mean, this guy, they're not doing anything right in New York, right? He's a defensive guy, and that defense is getting gashed. And Tua, in my opinion, has become like significantly underrated. You know, he's 12th in EPA plus completion percentage over expectation, and he's 7th in QBR. And this is with a wide receiver group that really isn't that good. You know, Will Fuller, I don't know, what did he play, like, his standard 25 minutes this season? I don't know. Will Fuller never gets on the field, but they expected him to, and they hoped for him to get on the field. Jalen Waddle looks like a slam dunk pick. Him and Tua just keep getting better week in, week out. Mike Gesicki, their tight end's pretty awesome, and they've been without Devontae Parker. So all I'm saying here is that Tua in a uninspiring offense, dealing with injuries behind a bad offensive line, I think is actually giving me more confidence that he could be a franchise quarterback based on how he's played this year. Also, like, I just have like a bunch of trends I'm gonna throw at you. Just fire your guys' way. It's just a better spot for the Dolphins. Miami and the Brian Flores era, which started in 2019. They're 15-8 against the spread as a home team. They're 2-0 against the spread, coming off of a bye. They're 10-5-1 against the spread versus or in division games. They're 5-1 straight up and 6-0 against the spread against the New York Jets. They're 7-5 against the spread as a favorite. The spread's up to minus 10 because the odds makers want the exact reaction you're giving them. Yeah, I'm good. I'm gonna run away. It's like there's no way the Dolphins should be laying that many points. And I kind of agree, but like all those trends, Tua's playing really well. I can't stand the Jets coaching staff, and just like we've seen it time and time again, the winning team usually just covers the spread. We sit here and we bicker and go back and forth, maybe not bicker, but go back and forth about points and how much value there are to points. Well, that's not really how it works, actually. So I would just lay the points and take the Dolphins. I loved it as a teaser leg like 2 days ago, but here we are. So Dolphins minus 10 is the play for me. I don't think I'm going to go to the window, even though I have a whole bunch of options to go to the window with, but that's all I got. Did you guys give your guys takes? I just suck the air out of the room here.
Yeah, but not really confident play for me.
Okay, I just talked so much and I lost myself. I didn't know if I don't know if I got your guys' records or your guys' picks on the record. So, all right, cool. Let's go to the next game, an NFC East division matchup with just my terrible New York Giants hosting the Dallas Cowboys, or pretty much running away with the NFC East. I don't even know what they're playing for, which is part of my handicap, even though I don't bet Giants games. Giants are getting 10.5 points at home with Mike Glennon probably starting, actually definitely starting at quarterback. Daniel Jones is still out with a neck injury. Does either one of you want to? I'll start with you, Minty. Do you want to lay 10.5, or do you like a side here in the total in this game?
This is my best bet of the week. And I'm breaking two of my rules here, which is betting on a double digit favorite as my best bet and betting on the Cowboys. Like, I've been so scarred from last year after losing so much money betting on the Cowboys. And if for some reason they're like awesome, they have a great ATS record this season. So that being said, the Giants can't really use the excuse of injuries, because, you know, they were bad before the injuries. And Mike Glennon, like you said, is their starter, and no offense, but he doesn't stand a chance against Dallas. Dallas has all the parts moving right. They play in a very easy division with easy competition, and they truly have some pure talent on this team, both sides of the ball. I expect this to be a blowout. I mean, the Cowboys are 7-2 against the spread versus the Giants in their last 9 meetings. So just as simple as that, I like the Cowboys.
Yeah. Hi, Harry. What do you think, Nate?
So I also love the Cowboys here. I got the Cowboys -4 last week. And I think that they're the second best covering team in the entire NFL at 10-3. I think only worse than the Packers. Now, I'm not going to lay the 10.5. I'm going to hammer the under. So the Giants' strength on their defense is their passing. And they didn't do well last week. I think this is kind of not a trap game, but the Giants actually played decent last week. They gave up 37 to the Chargers, sure, but their offense scored 21. So it showed a little bit of competence. With Tyron Smith out, I don't think they'll quite be able to show that again. I think the Cowboys will be able to focus in on Saquon, limit him. If you take Saquon out of the game and you force Prescott into some pressure, he hasn't been super great the last few weeks. Overall, I think 44.5 is a lot. I don't think Mike Lennon's leading the Giants down the field for more than like 10 first downs in this game. I think under 44.5 is one of my better bets of the week. Cowboys have looked awesome. I think they're going to cover the spread. I just do not believe they're going to put up like a 35 spot like usual.
I'm looking for the team total. Like, would a team under the Giants team total be the better play?
It's got to be like,
I'm looking for it right now.
16.5.
Yeah, something like in the teens, low mid-teens.
If it's 18.5, I'm hammering the under on that. It's got to be around like the 17 mark, I would think.
Yeah, I just, you know, I am going to pass. It just feels like a bit of a hangover game for Dallas, right? I mean, like, what are they even playing for? The NFC East is locked up, so maybe the back door is open. Plus, Dak Prescott hasn't had a QBR better than 45.1 in 5 of his last 6 games. That said, he just tears up the Giants. Like, just, he's 8-2 straight up versus the Giants all time. He's got like a 69% completion percentage, 20 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, 100 quarterback rating. The Giants are probably going to get massacred, so I'm good on this one. Next game here, we have the Green Bay Packers versus the Baltimore Ravens. When you guys are giving your handicaps, I'm going to go through the injury report real quick and see what's going on with that, because I didn't do a deep dive or analysis on that. But right now the spread is the Ravens are getting 5 points at home. Total is at 43.5. I don't know. This feels like just a tough one because we don't know Lamar Jackson's injury status. I'm assuming he left the game early last week and their loss to the Cleveland Browns, which was my only winner in the Circa Millions, and that was just a crap win. But I think he's dealing with a high ankle sprain, allegedly a high ankle sprain. This offensive line is just completely nuked for Baltimore. But what do you guys say? We'll start with you, Nate. Nate, how do you play in this game, if at all?
Oh, I think this might be my best bet of the week. So Green Bay's been an absolute covering machine lately. They're 11-2, the number one covering team in the NFL. And I think the other part that makes me really love this game is what Baltimore does best, Green Bay's not going to care about. So Baltimore defends the run great. They defend the run at one of the highest rates in the league, but it's their secondary that's been having their issues. Marlon Humphrey's been out the last few games. I think the Packers could, I honestly might even take this if it were 8 or 9 points. The Ravens give up the 31st most passing yards per game. And what Baltimore does great, so do the Packers. Baltimore loves to run the ball. They always have. If Lamar's not in, then this line's going to shoot up to 8 or 9. But if he is in, they're going to run the ball. The Packers have a top 10 rush defense. I feel like it's easy, but I'm taking a road dog that's been covering all season. Give me Green Bay -5.
All right.
I don't know how to feel about this game because Aaron Rodgers also aggravated something and he's not ruled out yet. But I think it's something to say that like the Baltimore Ravens have played so well through what they went through at the start of the season where like half the team were injured, or I guess I should say all the key players were injured. And then just throughout the season, just injury after injury, they're fighters, but I think I like Green Bay a little bit more here in this spot. They are the better team, even without Aaron Rodgers. I can't remember what game it was now that I'm thinking about it, where Aaron was absent, but they still covered. If you guys can remember, just throw Chiefs. It out there. But yes. I like the Packers here, but I don't know if I'm really going to lay 5.5 points yet.
Did Aaron Rodgers say that his toe was kind of injured on a recent Pat McAfee appearance? Because if that's the case, that is just this fool just drumming up the drama so he can look like more of an icon on national TV. It's like straight out of the LeBron James playbook. Like, I'm going to just raise the stakes and I'm going to ball out in front of everyone. That's, I don't know. Or maybe if it's like a medical thing and he really is hampered, then I guess that obviously fits into the handicap. I'm kind of where you're at when you started the handicap, Minty. It's just like, I don't know. Like, I don't feel like the Ravens actually have like a low key, really strong home field advantage typically. So I'm not crazy about just betting against them. And like, there's been so many fade the Ravens arguments you can make game in, game out, and they keep showing up and playing well in these games. Like, they had no business covering last week. They somehow got inside of the number. So they've played a lot of one-score games, and come hell or high water, I could see them playing another one-score game. And even if we got Tyler Huntley, I mean, he's mobile, and I feel like he can throw the ball pretty good. And like, I don't know.
Don't talk yourself into this. You're talking yourself into Ravens. +5.
Thank you. You know, you're right. Thank you for helping me with that. I'm not going to bet the Ravens +5. Let's move on. All right. Next game, Tennessee Titans at the Pittsburgh Steelers. Oh. The Pittsburgh Steelers, I think they're getting points. Where is it? They're getting 1.5 points at home. The total is at 41.5. Apparently, according to pregame.com, all the money's coming in on the Steelers. I'm going to look at the Yahoo Sports app, but we'll go Nate first. Nate, how do you feel about this game?
I was about to say that money might be right. It's gone down from, I had it at 2.5 in my notes. So 1.5 is almost just a pick 'em at this point. I told myself coming into this podcast, I wasn't going to tell people to play Pittsburgh again, especially after last week. But here I am. I'm going to say to play Pittsburgh again. They're 2-0 at the spread as home underdogs this season. Going into last week, we'd heard how great Mike Tomlin's been as an underdog. I still love him as a head coach. And I think deep down, obviously, I love the Bengals. I think all four teams in that division, especially after the Browns win last week and Lamar's injury, they still know that that division's up for grabs. I know the Steelers aren't looking great, but I think this is a good game for them to win. I think it's a must-win game for them. They're healthier. They're more dialed in. They have the 11th best third down defense. I think just a couple huge stops at home, and they're able to win the game. I love them to cover it. 1.5, 2.5. They're going to win this game outright.
I don't disagree with you. I love betting on the Steelers as underdogs. They're actually 5-3 against the spread as dogs. So that's not bad. But they're not the same dominant team that we're used to seeing, and Big Ben is just trending downwards and it doesn't look like he has much left in him. I want to say the ground game could keep this game close, but the Titans possess one of the best rushing defenses, allowing 4 yards a carry. So as much as I like the value with the Steelers, I haven't bet this one yet. But I think I trust the Titans more at the short line. But if the Steelers do cover the 2.5, like you said, I they definitely will win straight up. But I think I have just a little more faith in the Titans here.
And I don't hate it. I mean, they've looked like the better team all season. So
yeah.
I do got to push back on the Big Ben stuff. Big Ben, that ball was flying out of his hand last Thursday night. Like, he threw them back into the game. He was making sick throws against Minnesota. Granted, their pass defense is nothing exciting, but, like, between the knuckleheads he's throwing to and, like, his old fat body, like, I feel like he looks pretty good out there. No offense, Big Ben. I'm a fat guy myself and old. Not as old as you, but I'm getting there. To me, this is a Steelers teaser leg. I don't like Tennessee covering what would be 7.5 at home, or excuse me, on the road in Pittsburgh. And, like, the Steelers could still win the division. I mean, Cleveland, COVID has completely taken Cleveland out. Cincinnati, it's just like hit or miss with them. We don't know how they're going to look week in, week out. Baltimore has its own struggles, and, you know, they're an underdog at home this week against a Green Bay Packers team that's just rolling up everyone. So, like, the Steelers, they have a ton to play for. I'm going to be getting with the teaser, spacing out here. Again, I'm going to be getting 7.5 at home. Tennessee doesn't usually cover as road favorites. And like Minty was saying, Pittsburgh has been profitable as underdogs this season. I hear you about Tennessee being able to take away Pittsburgh's ground game. I'm not even going to push back on that, even though I do love Najee Harris. I just think, like, between Mike Tomlin, between, like, an all-in effort, between extra rest at home in December, like, they'll cover the 7.5 teaser. I kind of think they're going to win somehow. I can't fully explain why I think that. It's just one of those hunches, but I'll definitely take the Steelers plus 7.5. Nate, what's up?
I think I already did my little deep dive into Steelers money line.
All right, cool. I thought you had something else to say. My bad. All right, so next game here on the list. Oh, this one's beautiful. I got the.
This is our game.
Oh yeah, this is our Super Bowl right here. The Houston Texans visiting the Jacksonville Jaguars. The Jacksonville Jaguars are -3.5 right now. More money, according to pregame.com. Around 62% of the money at the time of us recording is on the Houston Texans. Here's what's funny. I'm going to start this handicap because this is actually one of my best bets. On the Yahoo Sports app, Minty's employer, 90% of the money is on the Houston Texans. Now, I don't know if you listened to last week's episode, Minty, but I introduced a new handicapping angle where I bring in politics. This is the 2016 election angle. So if you remember,
our Biden game.
Yeah, this is, well, what's good?
Our Hillary Clinton, Donald Trump game right here.
This is our Hillary Clinton, Donald Trump game. If you remember the 2016 election, I'm not going to tell you about your voting patterns, but most of the American public didn't vote for Hillary Clinton and they didn't vote for Donald Trump. They voted against them. So I'm not betting on the Jaguars. I'm betting against the Houston Texans. And now the reason why is it's pretty simple. I can't really explain why the Jaguars are favored 3.5 against anyone, right? And if you're saying 90% of the betting public, according to Yahoo Sports app, are taking Houston +3.5, what are they, 2-11 team? Contractually, I have to fade that. Like, there's 90% of the money is on a 2-11 team, and the line hasn't budged, it hasn't moved. All right, I'll take the Jaguars. I don't know how they're going to get there, you know, but, like, to me, it seems pretty obvious, like, Davis Mills as a starting quarterback, rookie starting quarterback, in the second division game on the road, like, I don't know, like, he shouldn't be getting 90% of the money. And if you look back at that week one Houston beatdown they put on Jacksonville, Tyrod Taylor was terrific. He completed 21-33 passes, 200 for 290 yards, 2 touchdowns, 0 interceptions, 112 quarterback rating. Houston's 2 leading rushers in that game were Mark Ingram and Philip Lindsay. So they're not going to have their quarterback from that game or their 2 leading rushers. And again, back to the 2016 election angle, how are 90% of the public betting on the Houston Texans? I get it. The Urban Meyer controversy and the headlines off the field They look bad. They are bad. I would assume the Jacksonville team hates him, right? I kind of believe those. I just, for whatever reason, the odds makers are saying, nah, the Jaguars are gonna put it on Houston here, and I'll just go with him on this one. Minty, can you push back on any of that? Or I'm assuming you and all the listeners don't want to even discuss this game anymore, but what do you think?
Correct. I think you'll be very disappointed to know that I have no opinion or no play on this game at all. I can't waste my precious earth breaths to talk about this game. However, I think people are high on the Texans primarily because of Tyrod Taylor. Am I thinking of the right team? I get him confused with
no. Yeah, but he's not playing. They're throwing out Davis Mills.
Oh, yeah, that's awesome, right. Davis Mills week. For the rest of the season. That's right. I saw that headline. Yeah, I'm confused about that. I actually don't know. But I have no opinion on this game. I'm sorry, not even a lean.
It's all good. Nate, what's up? What do you got here?
See, like you said, this is our Super Bowl. You picked Jags to win the division, I think, preseason, right?
Hell yeah, I did.
I think in my position right now, so I'm kind of doing the same thing as you, just kind of opposite. I'm looking towards the total, and I'm usually an unders guy, sure, but 90% of people are on the under here. It's churned down from 43 to 39. And the one thing that every time we talk about the Jags, the one thing that I keep thinking and that I keep seeing is that they live or die by Trevor Lawrence. It's kind of like Urban Meyer at Ohio State. They're going to throw the ball 100 times per game. I mean, he's thrown it 40 times last game, 42 times against Atlanta a couple games ago. He's thrown it 54 times one time this season. And the Houston Texans have one of the worst defenses in the league. They let go of Zach Cunningham, who was the NFL's leading tackler last year. They're not going to be able – they might be able to stop Trevor Lawrence some, but the Jags are going to throw the ball a ton. And in the first matchup between these two teams, there was 58 points scored. I think 39 is giving them a lot, especially that Davis Mills went over 300 yards last week. I feel like I'm pretty confident in over 39.5 hitting.
I just want to say, just for the listeners and you guys, obviously we're talking here, but like I make money in two different ways. One is as a sports betting analyst and writer. The other is I do a comedy podcast called Mad Scientist Party Hour. Urban Meyer, it was reported today that Urban Meyer kicked former kicker Josh Lambeau in the leg during practice and said, "Hey, dipshit, how about you make some kicks?" And as someone who makes money off of jokes, that is objectively hilarious. Like, who I know it sounds bad, right? Not a great working environment. I would even go as far as to call it toxic. However, just everyone at home who's watched their football team and their kicker of their favorite football team miss a field goal has the exact same thinking. They have the exact same thinking. I just, it's a throwaway comment, but I just think that shit is hilarious. And I think like 90% of the people are betting because of stuff like that. And like what Vegas is saying with this line is like, that doesn't matter. Like it doesn't matter. Like the Jaguars are far more talented than the Texans. So I could see Minty just losing interest in this podcast. And I can picture the listeners losing interest in this podcast. Let's talk about a way more interesting team, the Detroit Lions, who are hosting the Arizona Cardinals. The Detroit Lions at home are getting 13.5 points. Of course, most of the money in action is coming on the Cardinals. Most of the money is coming in on the under, but the total is stuck at 47.5. Nate, you take this one first. Where do you, if anything, where are you betting this game or how you betting this game?
Yeah, I'm probably going to pass this game. I think it sucks all around. I will say the one note that I found is Arizona typically has a strong defense, but they actually rank 28th in rushing yards per attempt. And I think that kind of goes to show that they're always up in the game. Teams are playing from behind, they're passing, they're not really running the ball. I think that's kind of opposite of what Dan Campbell does. Dan Campbell's going to be down 30 points and he's going to keep running the ball. So I'm going to be interested in this game. I might watch it, but I probably won't bet it. I don't really trust Dan Campbell and the Lions that much.
You psychopath. You're gonna watch this game and not bet on it.
Yeah, I'm not. Okay. I can't bet on it. I had a point down here that Detroit is 4-2 as home underdogs against the spread. And I picked Kyler Murray to be my preseason MVP, so I'm not betting on it.
I would need 7 televisions in my living room to throw this game on one of them. But, I'm actually going to bet it. I'm actually going to bet the Lions. Do you have a play in this game, Minty?
You love the Lions, Jeff.
You know I do.
Am torn because the Cardinals can do damage to anyone, really. But laying essentially two touchdowns, you know, on a team kind of goes against my religion. I mean, the Lions are what, 7-5 against the spread, which isn't terrible, but the Cardinals are 9-3 against the spread, which is way better. I trust the Cardinals over the Lions any day, as Arizona has proven to cover double-digit spreads in recent past. I won't be betting on it, but my lean is the Cardinals. But if you like the Lions, I also can't argue with that because I'm thinking about it too. But I'm definitely going to save my money. Stay away from this one.
Yeah, I mean, I'll take the Lions plus 13.5. All the money is coming in on Arizona, and they it has been juiced up from the 12.5 point look ahead line to 13.5. But Arizona just played a tough division game at home. They're traveling to weak ass Detroit as two touchdown favorites. They're not going to be getting up for this game. We know the Lions will. We know Dan Campbell has the Lions trying to bite off kneecaps and fighting to the bitter end. So to Nate's point, I think Minty kind of touched on this too. The backdoor is going to be wide open for a backdoor cover. We've seen Campbell run out some gimmick plays or some trick plays to try to, I don't know, like make up for the talent discrepancy. I think Detroit's going to be able to run the ball against Arizona and keep Kyler Murray off the field. Plus, Kyler is like clearly playing less than 100%. And actually, Detroit beat them last season. Granted, it was with a former coach, but that secondary was terrible last season. They're not very good this year, but they picked off Murray three times last year. Arizona's awesome. They're great. I like them. I picked them last week. I'm not even like butthurt that they lost, whatever. But I think laying 13.5 on the road with a banged up quarterback versus a team that's actually 8-5 against the spread and just continuously gets up for games, I'll take Detroit plus 13.5. I might need a backdoor cover, but I think the Lions are going to get there, and I'm going to have it as one of my best bets, actually. All right, next game here on the list, let's talk about the Atlanta Falcons visiting the San Francisco 49ers. The Falcons are getting 9 points. All the money coming in on the 49ers. Total is at 46. Minty, you first here. Are you playing this? Are you betting this game?
No, I'm not betting this game. And you'll be disappointed to hear that also. I actually don't have an opinion for this game. I don't know if I really trust the Niners that much to lay that many points with them. And I know they're going up against the Falcons, but I feel like the Falcons, they win games they have no business in winning and cover games they have no business in covering. So that's why I kind of stay away from any Falcons matchups. So I would lean Falcons, but officially nothing much more to say about this one for me.
Nate?
Yeah, no, I'm the same way. The Falcons are allowing 27 points per game. I mean, their defense sucks, but they're still 7-6 against the spread. So they're still covering. And Matt Ryan used to be like one of my top five favorite NFL players.
Yeah.
So I don't really like betting against him. I think 46.5 is kind of high, but yeah, I have no play. That game's going to suck. It's like two very mediocre teams going at each other. Well, even though maybe I'm just mad the 49ers beat my Bengals. I don't want to hear it.
Oh, I love the Bengals.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, yeah. If they're two mediocre teams, I'll take the 9 points, right? I kind of agree.
I almost told myself to lay 9 on the Falcons, but it kind of goes back to that Houston, the whole 2016 debate thing. I can't take a bad team just because I think it's too many points.
Oh, so you think the Falcons are working with the Russians? I got you. Okay. I'm going to take the Falcons plus 9, even though there's some Kremlin. No, I'm sorry. Enough of the political jokes. I am going to take the Falcons plus 9 just because the Niners are a bad against the spread home team. In the Shanahan era, a 7-point home favorites or greater, San Francisco is actually 2-4 straight up and 0-5-1 against the spread. One of those games was actually in week 15, 2019, when the then 5-9 Atlanta Falcons went to San Francisco and beat the 11-3 49ers 29-12 as 10.5-point road underdogs. I just think for whatever reason, maybe it's Matt Ryan's familiarity with Kyle Shanahan's scheme, but I think the Falcons just match up really well. I think they're going to be able to run the ball with Cordarrelle Patterson. The Falcons have covered 5 of their last 6 road games, plus everyone's betting San Francisco, so I'll zag, go the other way. I think the Niners have kind of been playing They've been lucky to pull out some recent victory, especially last week against Cincinnati. I don't look at them as a complete team. I think these teams are closer to even, and they're both in the playoff contention. Obviously, San Francisco's on the inside, and Atlanta's on the outside looking in currently. But, you know, like Nate said, I don't think there's a lot separating these teams. Definitely not 9 points. I'll take the nine with Atlanta. Next game here on the list is Nate's Cincinnati Bengals visiting the Denver Broncos. The Denver Broncos are now 2.5 point favorites. They were, +3 on the look ahead line last week. Interesting. All the money's coming in the Bengals, at least according to pregame.com. I'll pull up Yahoo Sports when, Nate, you're discussing this game. But are you going to bet against, bet on your favorite team or fade them by any chance?
So I think the last few weeks we've lost absolute heartbreakers. And I've bet on them every time because I'm going to keep betting on them. Because 1.5 points going into Denver against a mediocre Broncos team is too many. My Bengals are talented, and I don't typically want to bet on my team, but they have had a few bad breaks their last few games. Like we talked about, that Jamar Chase muffed catch to an interception. That could have been the game. If Zach Taylor just was a man and started throwing the ball in overtime, that could have been the game. Trey Hendrickson looks like he's going to be a go. We're finally getting our cornerbacks healthy. The Broncos' weakness defensively is in their secondary, and the Bengals should be able to exploit that. I think at 1.5, 2.5, it's kind of just a pick'em game. And the Bengals, it's now or never. They have a far more talented team, in my opinion, and I'm going to ride them at 1.5.
Minty, jump in.
Yeah, first of all, are the Bengals bad? I honestly can't tell because I'm still riding high on how great they looked earlier in the season. I bet on them just about every week, both pregame and in-game if I didn't like the pregame line. And I made a lot of money off of Cincy this season and last season. However, they have lost some games they should not have lost. And I fear that Denver's defense may do enough to contain Joe Burrow and the rest of that offense. I think this line is kind of telling us it's a pretty even matchup. Last week was an even matchup with San Francisco and came down to the wire. I can totally see that happening again. The Bengals love playing in overtime, it seems. But I like the Bengals plus the points, especially if you say it's +2.5. Maybe we can get it at 3 if we're lucky. But that's my bias because I actually really like the Bengals. I might stay away, but I don't know. I see an in-game opportunity here.
Well, this is a pro Bengals podcast. I like the Bengals too. I would play this as a teaser leg. I'm not going to go to the window with it because I already have like a two team teaser that I'll just use. But truthfully, between all of us, I will be teasing the Bengals, maybe with the two teams that I have as my favorite play as a teaser this week. I just think the Bengals are going to be able to take away Denver's run game, and I don't like Teddy Bridgewater to cover the teased up number, which would be 8.5. Which is what I would get the teaser at. I am going to be waiting till the kickoff to be betting most of these games. And a good example of a good reason as to why would be how I lost the under 48.5, the Niners Bengals last week. That was pretty terrible. It ended 26-23 in overtime. There was 9 points scored in overtime. So I whiffed to the bet slipping listeners, and I apologize. Fortunately for me, unfortunately for you guys, depending on where you got the line, I waited until kickoff and I got 49.5, so I ended up winning, but I lost with you guys and I gave you bad intel. So I apologize for that, but I'll be waiting. Hopefully there'll be, I don't know, some late movement towards Denver and I can just get I can get the Bengals at +8.5, +9. I think it'd be +8.5 currently. So that's all I got in this game. We can go on to the next game. Which is an NFC West matchup between the Los Angeles Rams hosting the Seattle Seahawks. The Los Angeles Rams are favored. It's a big number. They're favored 6.5. All the money's coming in on the Rams off their big Monday night victory over the Arizona Cardinals. Minty, I'll let you take this one first. Do you got a play on the side or a total in this one?
Well, no team makes me sweat more than Seattle. Part of me is still stuck on the fact that Russell Wilson is getting points, and I just can't accept that because he is such a great quarterback and deserves more respect than that. But I've just lost too much money on them. I mean, they make too many mistakes. Russ's main weapons are having a really inconsistent production. The Seahawks don't utilize the great range of tight ends they have, which is unfortunate because those guys have the capability of doing some damage. Divisional games, I want to take the Seahawks, but the Rams currently have more to play for, and I can see them winning by a score or more. So I lean LA, but I have to stay away because I would absolutely probably bet on the Seahawks.
Nate?
Yeah, I think I'm kind of on the same boat. I want to bet the Seahawks, and partially it's kind of piggybacking off what you said, but it's also the Rams are one of those other teams like the Browns. I believe they have double-digit players on the COVID list. I mean, they're going to be down Odell, going to be down Jalen Ramsey, Tyler Higbee, Daryl Henderson. I mean, those are key guys. So if you're going to tell me that I'm going to be able to get 6.5 points, Metcalf, Wilson, I know their offensive line hasn't been great. Russ is just too insanely talented to not cover 6.5 point spread. And these divisional games typically prove to be closer than I think they are. And I don't think the Rams are as good as we think they are. So I do like the 4.5. I love it. I think you said 6.5, right?
No, it's 6.5. It's down from 7.
I saw it at 4.5. I think maybe I wrote it down wrong, but
wait, I'll bet you on that one. What do you, wait, where's the 4.5 going?
Rams, but
oh, okay.
Either way, I like the Seahawks here. 6.5 is fine. 4.5 would have been fine. Anything above a field goal is fine.
Word. Yeah, I mean, I'll take the Seahawks plus 6.5 here. We got some reverse line movement in Seattle's direction. This opened at 7. It's down to 6.5. Even though all
you know
the money.
What? Sorry to interrupt. You're totally right. I see it at 4.5 now, which I'm like, what? Okay. That's yeah, insane. I would also still bet the Seahawks over a field goal. I mean, 4.5 is like a sweet number.
Then we're all.
But I've also bet Russell Wilson probably 5 times and lost all 5 this year. So.
Yes, same. Ditto.
Holy smoke. So what's happening right now? I'm confused. So pregame's wrong? Is that what
maybe,
you're saying?
Maybe it's with
I
all the
I just got mine
COVID
off
games.
Like the sports data that they tell us to use for Yahoo or USA Today.
Okay. Well, then I have to abort this whole take here. I don't know what's happening. I have it written down as 6.5.
Earthball.
Something happened. Someone got COVID. Or something happened. I don't know. Maybe everyone's just realizing that Los Angeles has 10 plus players on the COVID list and Seattle has 0. Mm-hmm. I don't know what they're doing. I don't know how they're preventing COVID so well, but someone needs to get notes off of Pete Carroll, that guy.
Well, yeah. Seattle is one of the best states for containing COVID, even though I think they had one of the highest outbreaks, but not to get like political or anything. But yeah, I think the Seattle is one of 4 teams to have no cases on their team. So that's probably why the line shifted
that's
so
insane.
Much.
Yeah, well, I mean, Russell Wilson's getting healthier. I think the Seahawks are playing better. They're getting more balanced attack. Their rushing game has looked good the past 2 weeks. Granted, it was against a terrible Houston team. Again, LA is going to be without 10-plus players, including Jalen Ramsey. I think Jalen Ramsey. Definitely OBJ, Higbee, Havenstein, and Daryl Henderson, who are all starters on that offense. So I'll take Seattle. I lean Seattle plus 4.5 because I'm very confused. That's where I'll leave it. all right, next game, Sunday Night Football with the New Orleans Saints visiting the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Nobody's betting the New Orleans Saints. Actually, I don't have the betting splits on it, but the Buccaneers are our favorite 10.5. The total is 46.5, I think. I don't know. Maybe something changed in the last 30 seconds. Minty, do you have a play in this game?
Yeah, I would not trust the Saints under Taysom Hill, like to keep this within even 2 touchdowns. That offense looks weak, and their only strong suits are their ground game and Alvin Kamara and whatever tricks Taysom Hill has up his sleeve. Tampa is one of, I believe, the most solid run defenses in the league, right? I just don't see how they can compete against the Bucs. It's like a very uneven matchup that favors Tampa. I'm really debating if I'll get to the window with this one, but I would certainly like parlay Bucks money line this week, as I do like a very heavy favorites like money line parlay. So the Bucks will get there in my parlay here.
Can I just say something? Mm-hmm. the favorites went 11-3 last week against the spread. Vegas, yep. There is going to be a lot of revenge. There's going to be a mm-hmm. lot of revenge. I'm just going to be firing on overs firing on underdogs. Speaking of the total, Nate, do you want to give out the under in this game or do you want me to? Who's going to give out the under?
I got 46 and a half. I'm going to let you do it. I'm not doing it on this game.
What? What?
Why aren't I doing it? Cam Jordan's still on the COVID list.
Fair enough. I mean,
I'm with Minty on this one.
Well, part of Minty's handicap, which I very much agree with, is what the hell is Taysom Hill going to do? That guy ain't going to do shit on Sunday Night Football.
Very one-dimensional.
The Saints scored 36 points in their first game against Tampa Bay this year. That shit ain't happening again. They're gonna take it out on New Orleans. That defense is going to take it out on New Orleans in prime time. Also, the over right now, according to the Yahoo Sports app, is getting 87% of the bets. 87% of the bets is on the over. However, 60% of the money is on the under. We got a pros versus Joe's game. Pros taking the under. I'm going with the money. I'm following the money here. I'm taking the under here. Tom versus time. Tom is winning. He's crushing time, right? Tom versus New Orleans recently. It's all Saints. He's 0-3 straight up. 0-3 against the spread since joining Tampa Bay. He's got a 64% completion percentage. Six touchdowns, 7 interceptions, 77.5 or 77.5 quarterback rating. The unders are more profitable in prime time this season. The unders 3-0 in the last three New Orleans games, 4-0 in Tampa Bay's last four against losing teams. I do think Tampa Bay probably scores close to 30 in this game. I just think they're going to drill the Saints. I'm not crazy about laying the points just because how Sean Payton and New Orleans has done against Tampa Bay and Tom recently, but I'm taking the under 46 and a half here.
So I think for me personally, the biggest thing that makes me want to take the Tampa Bay points is really just the health of the Saints. I think generally speaking, the Bucs are probably a touchdown favorite, but then the Saints have been so good with Drew Brees, and they kept Drew Brees so healthy for so many years because they have one of the best offensive lines in the NFL. Well, Terron Armstead, he's out. Ryan Ramczyk, or they're still not practicing at least. Cam Jordan, they're probably a top three defensive player on their team, out. Mark Ingram, still on the COVID list. I just think there's too many downsides. Tampa Bay's too one-dimensional, or New Orleans is too one-dimensional. Tampa Bay, I think they probably have, if not the best, one of the best rush defenses in the NFL. I don't see how it's a 10-point game. I think this thing's like 24-3, 31-3. But again, if you're going to bet Tampa Bay, you got to know you're following the public and you got to be okay with that backdoor cover still being there. So there are still some negatives there, but I'm still riding with the Bucs here.
All right.
And they bruised us last week since we both had the Bills as a best bet.
Oh yeah. That's another one that I can talk about and whine about. Whatever. We'll move on. Monday Night Football. The Minnesota Vikings are favored 3.5 when they visit the Chicago Bears. According to pregame.com, 79% of the money is on the Vikings. They were -4 on the look ahead line. So we got some reverse line movement. The total has been increased from 43.5 up to 44.5. Nate, I'll give this one to you first. Do you have a play in this game?
Yeah. So over the last few weeks, I'm typically an unders guy. I think most games go under. I think most people bet on the over because they don't want to bet against points, whatever. But I like the over here. It's crazy. Fields showed what he's capable of last week against a pretty solid Packers defense. The Vikings get a relatively easy matchup, but Chicago's offense is top 20 in 4 of their last 6 games. Fields is starting to figure it out. Also, Dalvin Cook looked unstoppable against Pittsburgh last week, and the Bears don't have a great rush defense. I think the game could end 27-23. I don't think it's a best bet, but it's a preferred bet.
Minty, what do you think?
I don't like betting on NFC North matchups, but I'm leaning Bears +3.5 here. The Vikings haven't historically done well in primetime, and the Bears showed a lot of life with Justin Fields in their loss to Green Bay last week, which is pretty impressive. Bears are 6-2 against the spread versus the Vikings, so let's go Bears.
Oh, I like that first. I like your take there. Minnesota got a weak cover last week. That ball got in the end zone, and nah, Freiermuth could have scored the game-tying touchdown, possible game-tying touchdown. Chicago, like you said, showed some grit Granted, it was they didn't cover in their loss against Green Bay, but the offense looked pretty competent. And I feel like the Bears' loss against Green Bay was like more inspiring than the Vikings' win over the Pittsburgh Steelers. Maybe that's just how it finished. But Nagy's Bears, they own the Vikings. They're 5-1 against the spread. They're 4-2 against 4-2 against the spread. 5-1 straight up versus Minnesota since 2018. Also, running game, quarterback's best friend. Minnesota's rushing defense has the second worst success rate and second lowest EPA or second worst EPA. Their defense allows the fourth most rushing yards to quarterbacks, or excuse me, fourth most rushing yards per attempt to quarterbacks. So I think Justin Fields is going to be able to help out his own ground game. Also, Kirk Cousins in primetime, still terrible. Yeah, they covered and won last week, but got a little lucky to do so. He didn't even play that good. Minnesota, after a win since 2018, which is Cousins' first year in this, on Minnesota, they're 10-19 and 1 against the spread. Minnesota in December since 2018 is 6-10 straight up and against the spread. Minnesota versus teams with a losing record as a road favorite are 8-2 straight up, but 4-7 against the spread. I'll take the 3.5, fading Kirk Cousins in primetime with the Chicago Bears. Justin Fields trending up, looking kind of good after last week. So that's the slate, guys. Wow. Impressive stuff. I'm very happy to do this again with you, Minty. But as you know, and as obviously Nate knows, we wrap up our weekly slate, NFL slate breakdowns, with our best bets in a segment we call Going to the Window.
The Bet Slippin' Podcast. Going to the Window.
Minty, since you're the guest and you've stayed way past the time that we've talked you into coming for, well, how about you give us your best bets first?
Yeah, so the two bets I actually really like are going to be the Chargers +3 and Dallas -10.5. And I guess I'll throw in a total here. I actually really like the Bills Panthers to go under 44.5. Like I said earlier, I think this will be a great defensive matchup. Not thinking I'll see a lot of points scored, so really liking the under there. But the two better bets would be Chargers +3 and Dallas -10.5.
All right, Nate, how many bets do you have? Just go. Just rip them off.
Five. I got five.
Just fire, dude.
Cincinnati +1.5. It's a bounce back game. We're making the playoffs. Green Bay -4.5. Seattle +4.5. Green Bay -4.5, Seattle +4.5, and then the Giants, Dallas under 44.5, and the Texans, Jags over 39.5.
Oh, all right. I got mad best bets. I'm going to scratch out the Seahawks +6.5 because apparently it's +4.5 right now, and I'm way confused. But for my sides, I like the Bears +3.5. Ooh, wait for the kickoff on all of these, especially if you're betting underdogs or unders, which I'm betting three underdogs this week and one under. But take the Bears +3.5, take the Jaguars -3.5, take the Lions +13.5, and I'll take the Falcons +9. My total this week, I'm going under 45.5 in the Patriots Colts game. Again, wait for the kickoff. And then my 6-point teaser this week is I'll take the Eagles down to -1 roughly, and the Steelers up to +8.5. That's it. That's the podcast. This is our NFL week 15 betting gambling powwow. Thank you, Minty, for joining us again. I appreciate you I appreciate you stopping by. Hopefully we can get you in for the playoffs. I know your schedule is busy. You're a goddamn superstar and an alpha in this space, and I appreciate it.
Thank you so much. It was great to be on with you guys, and I hope we can turn this week around for you, Jeff.
Yeah, I need to turn around. My bank account needs me to turn this around, I'll tell you that. Also, you guys can show us some love on social media. Minty, shout out anything you need to, promote anything you want to, please, real quick.
Yeah, so follow me on Twitter at Minty Betts. Follow the Yahoo Sportsbook on Twitter and TikTok at Yahoo Sportsbook. And really quickly, I'm on Cameo now, which is you guys can request a video from me, like a shout out, or if you need a pep talk because your buddy's having a bad week. Every dollar that I make from Cameo will go straight to the Nevada SPCA, which helps, you know, neglected, abused, homeless dogs, cats, and other small animals. All that money that they use goes to vet bills, food, supplies, toys, treats, until these dogs and cats and other animals find their forever homes. I love animals, especially adopted animals. So yeah, find me on Cameo at Minty Betts for a good cause. I'm only doing this for the holiday season. So yeah, get your requests in.
Awesome. Good stuff, Minty. Again, thanks for joining us. Do us a favor. Share, like, subscribe, rate, review, all that good stuff wherever you get podcasts. We're on Apple, Spotify, and Google. Shout out to our sponsor, Tipico Sportsbook. All of our listeners in Colorado and New Jersey, check them out and check out our daily handicaps at sportsbookwire.usatoday.com. For Nate and Jeff and Minty, peace out.
This is the Bet Slippin' Podcast, featuring Jeff Clark from USA Today Sportsbook Wire.
I bet you $20 I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
No way.
I mean, it's the gambling business. Occasionally get punched in the face.
You're listening to the Bet Slippin' Podcast.
I'm shocked to find that gambling is going on in here.